and caressed her head like he'd done when she was younger.
Thank you, Layli. This is not something a father ever wants to discuss with his daughter, and I appreciate you not judging me for it. It seems my darling girl has become wiser than her father. Long live the Gladiator Queen!
In unison, her guardsmen responded,
Long live the Wolf of Oberheim!
Ilario's scene in the throne room served two purposes. People forgot about the fear of a Rion invasion in exchange for the excitement of a royal scandal. It also meant the dining hall was packed with every noble in the palace for her announcement of an official heir. Seating Alain beside Ilario made it even more clear that there were no hard feelings between their families. Naturally, the ceremony was as boring and monotonous as her own had been. She said a few words, announced that Dario would inherit after her, conditional on the birth of her children, and made him swear a public oath of loyalty to her reign specifically. When that was done, before she dealt with acknowledgement of his position, she called up Essa and Savio. They both were made to swear their loyalty to her in public, then thanked with a hug that broke all protocol. If anyone had doubted Laylee's enthusiasm about her new siblings, that would prove just how wrong they were. Only then did the queen ask the lords to swear their support of her chosen successor. Plague volunteered first. As the future Dom of Lanmont, he swore not only for himself, but also for Theodian, and made no effort to limit Lanmont's support. It was the type of pure devotion that every monarch wished for, and those who followed were shamed out of the typical flowery words that were meant to disguise their efforts at vagueness. By the time the meal was served, the death of the Rion Caesar had been pushed from everyone's minds. It wouldn't last long. If the Caesar had died nearly a month earlier, things would be moving fast in their capital city of Riadusu. Without the official heir, the Senate would become a quagmire of politics. Hopefully enough of one that her father's letter to Portia Gaius would arrive before a new leader was chosen. Waiting for the meal to end was nearly torture. Layli needed to talk to her father, her sister, and both of her brothers. She needed to make arrangements for her departure as soon as possible. But moving a monarch was never something that happened quickly. Most of all, Layli needed her husband to figure out how to convince a few gladiator teams to act as mercenaries, because Lanmont needed men who already knew how to use a sword, and anyone who'd survived the games most certainly did. Just as the dessert hit the main table, Essa left her seat. Layli and everyone else in the room watched her walk around the hall to where both of her fathers sat side by side. When she leaned over to whisper to Alain, the queen knew an outburst was coming. Connell, however, hadn't been told. He leaned closer.
Is she taking this okay?
Layli flashed him a smile. Perfectly. If anything, she's learned a little too well how to adapt to whatever society needs her to be at the moment.
Oh.
He caught her fingers and lifted them to his lips.
And how has your new merchant girl been?
Honest, Layli assured him. She came right to me and was relieved to hear that I'm not upset. According to her, she was mostly worried that I wouldn't understand the types of struggles people like you and she deal with. Connell's brows shot up.
I see. So I assume you've given the lion permission to court her?
I have. Layli paused as Essa shot to her feet. This should be good. Even across the room, her sister's voice could be heard clearly. I will not give up my service to the queen. I don't care if I'm a princess now. I'm also the royal seamstress and her maid. I'm certainly not about to become some palace trinket.
And you have the Arivati reputation to consider now,
Alain hissed, clearly playing into her ruse. Essa shook her head. I'm a Roy. I might be Arivati by blood, but you raised me to work hard, and I'm not giving that up. I don't care if it's not proper. I also don't really care what any suitors will think. She turned to Ilario. Admit it. You agree with me. You know Layli is the best ruler this country could have. That's why you didn't acknowledge us after Kael died. You waited so Norhaim would have the kind of monarch we actually need, not some stable boy, seamstress, or child.
I'm almost 12, Savio snapped from his place beside Alain. I'm not a child.
No, Essa asked. So do you think you could be king? The boy's face paled and he shook his head.
No, Layli's the king, queen. I just want to join the guard.
Ilario chuckled.
And you will when you turn 15, Savio, I promise.
Alain huffed.
And what would he be called? Prince Captain? No, the kids need...
Nothing, Essa said, cutting him off. We're the spares, Dad. That's it. Our job is to do the things Laylee doesn't have time for, and maybe even stand in for her when she asks. That doesn't suddenly make any of us above the rules we've lived our whole lives. Dad, we're bastards. I know you tried to make it easy for us, but we're still bastards, and we still need to do our part for our queen. We're not special just because we were sired by the royal father. We're special because we know our place, and I will not give that up.
Essa,
Alain tried, but she turned and stormed out of the dining hall. He stood to follow, but Laylee waved him down as she pushed back her chair. Connell's eyes darted from the scene to his wife, proving he was confused. As Laylee stood, she leaned close enough to whisper one single word in his ear. Tor. Then she raised her voice to Alain. I know you want what's best for us. You always have, but all she wants is for things to stay the same. Let me talk to her. I promise, I understand exactly how hard it is to hear that your whole life is changing. Please, everyone, finish your dessert. She didn't make it a step before Tristan was at her side. Like the silent shadow he was supposed to be, he followed her out into the hall where the new princess was pacing. As soon as she saw the two of them, Essa sighed and gestured down the hall in the direction she was going. I hope that was okay, she whispered when they were close enough. I told Dad I needed an excuse to leave, and he told me I needed to resign from your retinue. We just kinda went with it, so please tell me I didn't just make some new problem.
None, Laylee assured her. If anything, you've proven to the entire court that none of you are a threat. Now, do you know where the training camp is?
Tristan put his hand on her shoulder.
I made sure the guards do.
Then he looked at Essa.
They're already in the stables. Do you know what you're supposed to do?
Glancing down the hall for anyone within earshot, she nodded. I'm to tell Tor that I'm Lady Alessia Roy, and I want a night with death, right? You know people are going to think I've ruined myself with this man. Laylee shook her head. It doesn't matter, Essa. Those rules no longer apply to you, and if they try to say it where I can hear, I'll make sure that's well known. Okay, Essa nodded, proving exactly how much she trusted her sister. Do the guards have the money? They do, Laylee assured her. And pay whatever it takes. Don't even hint to Tor that you're from the palace. Death can tell him about the discussion if he wants to, or not, but it's his call, not yours. I just need you to tell him that the Caesar of Rhea died, and that the wolf needs to know what comes next. If he asks, you can tell him everything you know, okay? Everything? She asked. Laylee nodded, then began removing the wooden pendant she always wore. Yes, everything, including the baby and its father. He won't believe you at first. I need you to introduce yourself to him as Alessia Aravati, my bastard sister, and show him this. Tell him I'm riding to Lanmont in 2 days and that I need more teeth. But why? Essa asked. What can this one gladiator do that Theodian can't? Laylee sucked in a deep breath and shook her head. That's something you'll have to ask him because I'm afraid I can't say. His secrets deserve to stay on the sands, if that's where he wants them. Just let him know Norheim understands that. But the gladiator queen is also willing to fight for a friend. Can you remember all of this? Yes, Essa swore. Maybe not word for word, but I'll make sure this guy knows exactly how hard you work to keep anyone from even knowing I'm there. Then she wrapped her arms around Laylee's neck. Be safe. Don't let Tristan pamper you too much, okay? I'll ride fast, and hopefully be no more than a few days behind you in Lanmont. Maybe you'll even make it back before we leave, Laylee told her, hugging back. But if not, be safe, princess. I'm tired of people not showing up, and I really will miss you. Can't get rid of me that easy, Essa teased, then turned for a side hall, the one that led to the stables. Tristan just sighed.
Lay, are you really willing to go to war for a man who didn't want to rule his own country?
No, she clasped his thick bicep. But I'm willing to do it for a man who'd rather die than be used as an excuse to harm innocent people. If nothing else, he deserves to know.
That his father is dead? Tristan asked, proving he had it all figured out. Yeah, I can see that. I also know exactly how dangerous he is.
Dangerous enough to be Norheim's only chance at a lasting peace with Rhea, she agreed. Yeah, kinda what I'm hoping. Now, let's go assure the court that my sister is just having a tantrum and figure out how the hell we're going to get to Lanmont before we lose the province.
Chapter 23 Essa and the two men Tristan had sent with her rode through the night. Reyno and Bevan had almost become Laylee's guards back when she was first elevated to air, but there hadn't been enough spots. Instead, the Secor had assigned them to the throne room. It was an easy position, which meant neither one was used to spending so many hours in the saddle. Thankfully, they didn't complain. Instead, they kept themselves awake with lively banter. Their favorite topic was daydreaming about being chosen for a position protecting one of the new Aravati bastards, and they enjoyed using that word a little too much. At first, Essa wanted to scream each time they called her that. But sometime in the middle of the night, she realized her lack of legitimacy actually made them feel more comfortable around her. When she started poking fun at them for it, the ride became actually enjoyable. Then, at dawn, they stopped for a hurried meal and to give the horses a rest. They didn't dare sleep, not with everything that had happened, but all of them were battling exhaustion. Bevan suggested a round of sparring to get their blood pumping. When he gestured for her to get her weapons, she was shocked. They battered her just enough to make her learn and offered tips on how to manage her weapons better, but she'd held her own. By the time they got back on their horses, she was fully awake. The next few hours passed quickly, with Reyno explaining how to best use short and light swords like she preferred. Bevan used a heavier weapon, but joined in with the tactics to counter her style. By the time they arrived at Tor's gladiator training camp, Essa actually felt like the men had become friends. She hoped it would be enough to keep them from spreading any rumors about what she'd do next. Leaving them with the horses, she headed to the team owner's house. A servant met her at the entrance, ran his eyes over her, then smiled knowingly. She gave him her name as Lady Alessia Roy, knowing the change in her status wouldn't have made it out of Oberheim yet, and he led her inside. They made their way to a lavish office decorated in dark wood and polished weapons. The display looked as if it was intended to intimidate, turning the room into a harsh domain to give him the advantage. Behind the massive desk, a man barely glanced up when the servant announced her name. He also didn't bother to rise from his chair when he greeted her.
Lady Roy, what can I possibly do for you?
She licked her lips, very aware of what this man was thinking, but right now it didn't matter. I'm interested in meeting Death.
The man, who had to be Tor, chuckled.
He's not for sale. I have dozens of other Rhian men who might interest you, though.
Fear clenched at her stomach. She'd promised she could do this, and Laylee was counting on her. If she couldn't pretend to hire Death Services, then how could she talk to him without exposing the Queen's message? Then again, Laylee had said something about the team owners thinking of their fighters as nothing more than inventory. Her father had sold many of his lesser horses by turning a client's attention away from the flashy animal he thought he wanted. Maybe if she stood her ground, Tor would give in. No, she said, doing her best to sound like Laylee. I have enough to convince both of you that it will be worthwhile. Tor's head tilted slightly as he reassessed her.
Tell me, Lady Roy, what exactly is your position?
My father is the master of the Queen's horses. I am the royal seamstress.
So you know the Wolf of Oberheim?
Essa dipped her head slightly. I make her dresses. Yes, the ones that cover her swords.
And why, by all the gods and the pantheons, would a woman of your status be interested in talking to a man who sold himself not just once, but three times now into the games?
Because he's the only man I can think of dangerous enough that no one will come after him. She tossed a fat, velvet purse of coins onto the desk. I want the rest of today and all of tonight until noon tomorrow with him. Your job, Master Tor, is to convince your fighter that you need the coins in that bag.
Girl, Tor said as he slowly pushed back his chair. Death is not the kind of man to take you gently. He won't ease your maidenhead away. He'll destroy it, and you in the process. If you think giving yourself to some gladiator will make up for whatever your future husband will do, you're wrong. He'll only make it worse. But if you're so adamant, I'll tell him. Then we can let him decide.
He gestured for her to follow.
Come with me.
Tuor didn't escort her out the front of his house. He led her to the back, through a small garden with stone walls around it, and up to a locked gate protected by guards. At the sight of him, the men hurried to let him in, but not a single one bothered to look at her. It made her feel a little better, yet Essa had a funny feeling that what came next would be worse, because on the other side of that gate were nothing but gladiators. Dozens of them hacked at each other with wooden weapons, the sound loud enough to be startling.
"Ask Death to come to my office," Tuor told one of the men.
Then he tossed a devious smile back to her.
"Still think this was such a great idea?"
"What I think is really none of your concern now, is it?" she countered.
"Have it your way."
He started walking toward the largest building inside the compound, clearly expecting her to keep up. All she could do was follow, but while she walked, Essa pulled the wooden pendant free of her neckline, so it hung above her dress. If Layli was right, the gladiator would recognize it. If she was wrong, Essa really needed a backup plan to convince Death they needed to talk. Where they ended up was a room almost identical to the one they'd started in. This office, however, had wooden weapons instead of steel, and each one had been polished lovingly. When she looked closer, she saw small symbols engraved on each, the kind of symbols gladiators used as names.
"Have a seat," Tuor offered.
She took the chair before his desk. "Should I expect to wait long? My guards are outside your home with our horses." Tuor waved that away.
"Lady Roy, if Death will see you, I'll have them put up for the night and fed well. If not, there's an inn down the road you can use."
Stopping at a cabinet, he glanced back.
"Wine, my lady?"
"No, thank you. I think I'll need a clear head to deal with this man." The words were barely out of her mouth when the door creaked. Nerves pushed Essa to her feet, and she looked back just as the most terrifying person she could imagine walked into the room. His skin was black, like most Rian's, but lined with a mix of fresh pink welts and dark, nearly ebony scars. They were everywhere, from the side of his cheek, down his bare chest, and vanishing under his cheap trews. Then there was his size. He wasn't stout like Crush, or tall like Tristan. No, this man was big, but lean in a way that made her think of something feral, something she should be running away from.
"Majesty!"
His voice was filled with confusion as he cautiously took a step closer. "No," she whispered, shaking her head. "I'm Essa. I'm not her." Tuor chuckled.
"I warned you, Lady Roy, but let me introduce Death. Death, this is Lady Alessia Roy, and she just offered me a very fat pouch for a night with you."
The gladiator's eyes dropped to her cleavage.
"Give me the key to the suite."
Tuor nearly choked on the wine he'd just sipped.
"What? You heard me. But,"
Tuor gestured at her,
"you were actually going to poke this stupid little virgin." "By chaos," Death spat back. "Are you blind? If she's not the wolf, she's related enough to look like her, and she's wearing the queen's pendant."
Without asking, he reached out and grabbed the entwined creatures, pulling them high enough for Tuor to see.
"Where did you get this, girl?"
"It was given to me." Death's eyes narrowed.
"I think not. This is the sort of thing a gladiator would never relinquish."
Essa shook her head. "I swear. It was given to me, but only for a loan." Letting the necklace drop, he stepped even closer.
"What are you, her sister? Your eyes are exactly the same color."
Then he smiled.
"Don't worry about Tuor. He won't repeat a word."
Essa just shook her head yet again. "I made a promise."
"And I'm assuring you that I'll tell him anyway. Your promise is safe."
She took a deep breath. "My name is Alessia Roy, raised by Alain Roy, the master of horse at the palace. But my father is Ilario Aravati. I was acknowledged last night, just minutes before I rode out of Oberheim. No one will miss me."
"Yeah, kinda what I thought."
Death raked his eyes down her body.
"Tell me, Highness, are your teeth as sharp as your sister's?"
"Not yet, but she's been teaching me."
"Mmm."
Carefully, he reached up to toy with the hair behind her ear.
"And is that how you wanted to spend tonight with me? learning to use a sword.
His tone made it clear he didn't mean one made of steel. She swallowed, refusing to pull away. I think she intended for it to be tactics, sir. His hand stopped.
She sent you. This isn't some rebellious thing between sisters.
Essa jiggled her head quickly. That's why she gave me the necklace. She said you know it was real and it might be the only way to get you to talk to me.
Fuck.
He strode to the large desk and reached over for the topmost drawer, his hand returning with a key in it.
Put her men up for as long as they need. I don't even care how many there are. Move your wife if you have to. Have a feast prepared fit for a princess and send it to the suite, and do not disturb us.
What? Tor asked. Essa's head just whipped back and forth between them, trying to keep up. Death sighed.
The queen of your country has made every effort to keep my secret, going so far as to risk her own sister's reputation for it. Her sister, you fool! We're hosting the Princess of Norheim tonight, and for as long as she wants to stay, so you're going to act like the most high-born lordling you can imagine. Am I clear?
Tor's next question was just as simple.
Yes, but why?
They both looked at her. She said she's riding to Lanmont and needs more teeth. The way she phrased it, I thought you'd understand. Death's head just dropped to his chest.
Thor, cancel our games and prepare everyone here to head north. The Queen needs us all in Lanmont. Send riders to any other teams in the area and tell them to join us. I can't.
Thor paused in shock.
We can't afford that, especially not if we're canceling the games. Not even your contributions will cover moving everyone across Norheim. Then I'll get you more, and if that's not enough, build the palace. I have a feeling they'll pay it.
Death turned his eyes back on her.
Anything else she needs?
I think she wants your help to defeat Rhea. Someone named, I think it's Vinko, is trying to make an illegal trade alliance in the northwest with one of the Boyarets. She made it sound like you might know enough about him to help. And there's more, sir. But the rest I will not say until we are truly alone. She said that a gladiator's secrets deserve to stay on the sands, if that's where he chose to keep them, and that means they aren't mine to share.
Yeah,
Death grumbled.
Thor, you have your orders, princess.
He offered his arm. She took it, but as they turned to leave the office, Thor tried to protest one more time.
Claudius!
Essa's head snapped over to the man she'd been sent to see, and all the pieces finally fell into place. Oh, fuck, she breathed, realizing exactly whose arm she held.
Darkness protect us all,
he chuckled.
And here I thought you were just being difficult. I see Her Majesty really has kept our discussion to herself. Come, my dear, I think you may have just gotten a whole lot more than you paid for.
Chapter 24 The suite Death had been referring to was not at all what Essa expected. It was decorated like something in the palace, but in slightly less expensive options. The fabrics were sendal instead of silk and brocade instead of velvet, but it was much nicer than anything most gladiators had seen before. So was the bed that took up the majority of the room. Her eyes immediately went to it, and she couldn't pull them away. Tor's words echoed in her mind, making it clear exactly why the monstrosity was placed to be the focus. Unfortunately, Death noticed.
The guests who come to a gladiator camp are looking for one thing, he said gently. I'm afraid we don't have anything more suitable, and it is clean.
She took an involuntary step back, hoping she hadn't given the wrong impression.
Sir, don't worry, he assured her. My lack of a shirt is only because I was training. I've already figured out that you're here for a reason that has nothing to do with that bed. It's just too much of a pain to move. Highness, I have no intention of doing anything to piss off your queen. That little bitch is impressive, and her lion is worse. How are they doing, anyway?
She tried to find a safe answer, so fell back to the manners she'd grown up with. They're well. Her Majesty's coronation was a great success, and her first week in the throne has only proven her ability to rule fairly. Norheim is stronger under her reign than ever before. He scoffed.
Empty platitudes, Princess Alessia.
Essa, she corrected. I go by Essa because I'm not used to being a princess yet, and I'm sorry that I'm messing this up. I'm just the horseman's daughter. I was never supposed to have to worry about diplomacy.
And I'm just a gladiator. You have no need to be nervous, Essa, he promised. I was actually asking how Layli is doing, not the Queen. I'd like to think she's my friend, even if our conversations have been short. She makes me feel like she understands my situation, and I honestly hope she'll be a successful queen.
She's under a lot of pressure, Essa admitted. She won't complain, and we all try to help her as much as we can, but everything falls on her shoulders, and now with the... She snapped her mouth shut and looked up. Death crossed his arms with an arrogant smile.
I see you don't trust me yet, and that's fair. How close are you to your sister, Essa? Enough to understand that every gladiator in this country knows your prince consort is a figurehead, because she's admitted it to me.
He's not, she insisted. Connell is Layli's co-ruler. In many ways, I think he's the support she needs. They're friends, honest friends, and he understands that the chain between tandem partners is not the same as the one they wore on the sands. Prince Connell is a good man, honestly.
Oh, has the Norahame Court of Nobles not yet realized that their queen is a king, and their king is a lion?
Essa lifted her chin. Sir, Master Tor called you Claudius. The only man I know by that name is the Princep of Rhea, Claudius Gaius. I can only assume that's why Layli sent me to talk to you. I also know your country and mine have a very long history of aggression. And yet, for some reason, she trusts you. That only makes us harder. You see, I was sent here for one reason and one reason only, which isn't to discuss my sister's complicated life. Sir, I'm afraid I came with some very bad news.
Yeah, Vinko's trying to find a way into your border. Already figured that out. Probably means he's trying to impress the Senate and take my place. Seems the wolf needs my help, and in case you missed it, I'm doing my best to give it.
No, sir, Essa stammered, taking a step closer. When she told me, I thought I was just relaying the news to a former Rhian soldier, because that's what the rumors say you are. I had no idea you were, I mean, are the Rhian heir. Princep Gaius, I'm so sorry, but Layli sent me here to tell you that 24 days ago, the Caesar of Rhea passed away. She dared to reach out and touch his arm. Sir, your father's dead. I'm so sorry to be the one to tell you. The arrogance slid off his face, and Death's eyes locked onto her. Slowly, he shook his head.
That can't be right.
Then he took a step back. When his leg hit the mattress, his knees buckled, dropping his rump onto the bed.
My father's...
I'm sorry, she said again. I'm so sorry for your loss, but the wolf needs to know what comes next. The envoy said that because you've been missing, they will select a new Caesar in a month, and Layli wanted to let you know that the Gladiator Queen will fight for a friend. She's already sent word to your mother through her father, and she told the envoy that she'd spoken with you just before her coronation. She's given proof that you're alive, if you want to use it. He lifted a hand, making a sloppy gesture she couldn't make out.
No, I appreciate it. I just...
He paused to swallow.
I just need a minute. I honestly thought I'd be able to go back home before he was too old, and I never got to say goodbye.
She knelt before him and grabbed his hands. Do you want to be alone? He squeezed her fingers.
I really don't.
Then he flashed a weak smile.
Don't worry, I'm not going to cry in front of the Queen's envoy. We weren't that close, even if I wanted to be. I just thought I was doing the right thing by coming here, and I may have made it worse. My poor mother is all alone right now.
He sighed, but it shook as it came out.
That's not a very safe thing, Enria Dusu. If she tries to speak up for me, I don't know what will happen to her.
Can we help? He gestured for her to sit beside him.
No, that's very sweet of you, but Rhea's problems can't be solved by Norahame. The peace between our countries is too fragile, which is the whole reason I came here.
He turned to face her.
And they'll come from Norahame first. Whoever can take your borders down will be the next Caesar. Your little country has made itself the greatest prize by fighting us back for so long.
She nodded. They already are. It's not just that Vinko's trying to make trade alliances with lords on the border. Before Layli got married, she was attacked on the road between Moylock and Oberheim. Rianz were seen in the palace, talking to her cousin before that. The same cousin you helped defeat that day on the sands.
Fuck, he breathed. Do you know how my father died? The last I heard, he was healthy and strong. But if this has been going on for... how long?
Months, she admitted. Less than a year, and unfortunately, they only said he died 23 days ago. That was yesterday. The envoy tried to convince Layli that all agreements were now in dispute, but she put them back in their place for a while, made it clear that if Rhea doesn't respect their side of the bargain, then there's no reason any of your conquered provinces should either, and that Norheim would gladly make new deals with them. Death chuckled.
Your sister is a truly amazing ruler. It seems all of the Arivati ladies are spectacular.
Then he glanced away.
Sorry, he mumbled before wiping out his eyes.
You know, my mom raised her. Well, mostly. Layli's mom died giving birth. Mine was the king's mistress, so she tried to raise Layli up to be a proper princess. She died a few years back now, and I still remember how much it hurt. She lowered her voice. Claudius, I know how to keep a secret and offer a shoulder. There's no shame in mourning, even if it's only for a dream. When he turned back to her, his eyes were glistening.
The last time I spoke to my father, he said I was his greatest failure. The almighty Caesar of Rhea thought his son should follow in his footsteps and finish the plans he'd never been able to. I was enlisted into the military before I was old enough to vote, and learned how to use a sword before that. The one thing my father expected me to work for was the conquest of Norheim, and he made no secret of it. He said his line would conquer all the known lands, and it was my responsibility to make it happen.
But he waved that away.
I started having dreams about it when I earned my own cohort. Every night they were exactly the same. I'd lead an army to the Norheim border, and Riadusu would burn. The City of Light, that's what we call our capital among ourselves, would be destroyed for good, and bodies would line the roads to Norheim. And northern tribes would come down, and the Daetons would take the south. It was like watching a map change right before my eyes, overlaid on the bodies of people I knew.
She reached up to wipe a stray tear from his cheek. I want to tell you it was just a dream, but I'm glad you've never tried.
Yes, it wasn't just a dream.
He turned to face her.
Back home we have even more gods than you do here. One of them is Sleep. It's said that every so often he'll peek into a man's mind, and when he does, we can see back into his. For us, he's the one who tracks our lives and decides how best we can change them in our next cycle. I'm sure he was trying to warn me.
Is that why you came here to be a gladiator? She asked. He nodded.
I figured that if I died on the sands, then I couldn't lead men here. I knew I couldn't fight back home because someone would just tell my father, and he'd pull me out, but I could get lost here.
He paused for a little too long, although she could see he wasn't done.
I thought I was saving my friends and countrymen. I never expected to make more from people who were supposed to be my enemies. The truth is, I'd planned to die here and finally end this war.
No, Essa gasped. Claudius, no, that wouldn't solve anything. Another Caesar would simply take your place. One is already trying.
I know, he told her. I figured that out. I just thought I'd have more time. I was going to take the next Rudis I was offered and ride home to tell my...
He couldn't manage to finish the sentence as his throat choked off his words. Come here, she breathed, pulling the notorious fighter against her shoulder. It's okay. I promise it will eventually be okay. Don't blame yourself for his obsession. There's no shame in trying to shape your own life, Claudius, even if no one else can understand. He nodded, but made no move to pull away, so Essa hugged him closer. She'd done this with Dario when their mom had died, and her father when he needed it. As Death's body began to relax into her, she slowly rocked him. In that moment, it didn't matter that he was the most dangerous gladiator the games had ever seen, or that he would be the next Caesar. She knew the pain he was trying to ignore. Grief had nearly gutted her. She could only imagine how much worse it would be if she hadn't been able to tell her mother goodbye, if she had to spend the rest of her life knowing her parent thought she'd failed somehow. Not even Claudius Gaius was immune to his emotions, no matter how hard he tried. They transcended borders and politics. The need to comfort and be comforted was universal, and it was something Essa was good at. It also made the beast in her arms a lot less terrifying. Her sister could fight the battles. She'd patch the wounds, and her acceptance let death actually grieve like a man deserved. She felt his breath catch, but ignored it, allowing this strange and powerful gladiator all the time he needed. Minutes passed, enough that she didn't bother counting, but he didn't sob. Death's breath hitched at times and shuddered at others, but he just breathed, holding on to her like he was afraid to let go. She didn't mind. Right now, he needed her, and something about that felt good. It made her feel like she was actually helping, and that was all Essa had ever really wanted. Somewhere in there, he moved an arm to hug her back. Then his face shifted into the crook of her neck. His fingers lightened, and she began to caress his shoulder, hoping to ease his suffering. The moisture of his tears dampened the side of her throat, but when she didn't pull away, his mouth found her pulse and pressed against it softly. She sucked in a breath, and her body involuntarily tensed. Slowly, Death leaned back, looking up into her eyes. "I'm sorry," he breathed, making no move to hide his tears. Her fingers traced the spot where his mouth had just been. "You kissed me." He closed his eyes and groaned.
"I'm so sorry. It's been a long time since I've been around women, and I..."
He moved to stand, but she caught his arm. "I've never been kissed before. I mean, before that." Dark, wounded eyes hit hers a moment before he surged toward her. His palm caught the side of her face, and his mouth crashed into hers, pressing their lips together hard. She had no idea what to do, but didn't want to pull away. No, she wanted to press into him, but didn't. She barely knew this man. Confusion, shock, and something else made her heart race. But before she could figure it out, he leaned back enough to let her breathe.
"A woman as beautiful as you should be kissed deeply and often," he whispered against her lips. "I swear I won't go any further, but I'm going to kiss you, Essa, and you're going to make me forget all the time I've wasted. You're going to remind me right now that there's at least one thing my title is good for."
"What's that?" she asked, her voice weaker than she wanted. His thumb teased under her jaw.
"Impressing a princess."
He caressed her throat again.
"A very beautiful one who doesn't flinch from me."
Her next words were barely a whisper. "I liked it."
"So I shouldn't stop?"
"No," she decided. "Not yet. I just don't know what to do." The sound he made was almost a purr.
"I have every intention of teaching you."
And then he kissed her again. This time, Essa grabbed his arms and held him close. It felt good, like she was beautiful, and she didn't want him to stop. It didn't matter that he wasn't handsome, most nobles weren't, but he was powerful and seductive in his own way. Everything about this man was raw and real, like the people she felt most comfortable with, and she couldn't deny that the strength beneath her fingers was intimidating in the very best way. Besides, it was just a kiss. No one needed to know, and what a girl did when she was alone was no longer anyone's business but her own. As Death leaned her back into the bed, Essa decided she deserved this. After all, she just paid an awful lot of money to spend a night with this man. She might as well enjoy it. Chapter 25. Their heads were on the pillows. His arms were around her back. Their mouths had been tangled so closely that the girl's lips must be bruised, but the only reason Death stopped was a knock at the door. With a smile, he eased Essa's disheveled hair away from her face so he could admire it one more time, then rolled off the bed. He knew he shouldn't be doing this, but a man's willpower was only so strong. It had been far too long since he'd had a woman in his arms, and never one like her. When she hadn't pulled away, he'd kissed her before his mind engaged. At first, it had just been a way to keep from thinking about what his father's death meant. But that wasn't how it ended. Tasting her like that had put a whole new plan into his mind, one he was sure hadn't originated between his ears. When he opened the door, it wasn't enough to let the novice on the other side see her, mostly because he had an overwhelming urge to protect this woman. It was irrational and foolish, but 4 years of acting like an animal had that kind of effect on a man. There was no way he'd expose her to the young gladiator waiting on the other side with a heaping tray of food. Death jerked his head to the table beside the door.
Leave it there, and get me 2 sets of training clothes, Blade. One in my size, and something she can wear.
Blade flashed him a knowing grin.
Tor sent one for you, but I wouldn't think you'd want her to wear anything. Heard she's hot.
That protective feeling roared inside him. Death leaned through the gap and right into the kid's face.
If you want to keep that tongue in your mouth, you will not say things like that where the ladies can hear you. Am I understood?
But, he wrapped a fist in the boy's tunic.
Ever. The women who have enough money to buy a night with us have enough to buy your title, too, so I suggest you change your thinking. It may be the only way you live long enough to see the other side of those walls again. Now go do what I said.
Yes, sir. I'll be back in 30 minutes for the plates, and I'll have the clothes.
Good boy.
Death closed the door, leaving the food outside, and turned to check on the princess. She was watching.
I'm sorry if you heard that.
Essa shook her head. It's okay. I know what the fighters think about the sluts. Once again, this woman had just made him speechless. Sluts? That was not the kind of word he'd expect a well-bred lady like her to throw out so easily. Then again, he'd felt the steel against her leg, hidden under the fabric of her skirts. He also had a very funny feeling she knew how to use it. Evidently, the wolf had made a few changes in court.
I wasn't sure if you'd packed anything, so I told the boy to find some training clothes. I hope it won't bother you to wear trues.
She scooted to the edge of the bed. No, we wear them when we're training.
I see. Did you know that it's not a good idea to bring weapons inside the walls? Tora won't even wear a meat knife when he comes in here.
Standing, she smoothed her skirts. I honestly had no intention of anyone knowing about them unless they were needed. Then she looked up, a hint of pride in those big brown eyes. I promise, the only man here who could take my weapons might be you. Not even Tristan can disarm me anymore.
Impressive.
He picked up the potted plant on the table and looked for a place where it wouldn't be in their way.
And how fast can you get to them under all that cloth?
Giving up, he set it beside the wash basin and turned to find a thin stiletto even with his chest. Fast enough to geld a man. Then she turned her hand, offering him the hilt. You should know that Her Majesty is well protected. Not only is she surrounded by guards, but her retinue is skilled enough that not even you could touch our queen. He pushed her hand down with the weapon still in it.
I'm not foolish enough to try. In case you forgot, I fought beside the little bitch. Essa, how hard did you ride to get here?
She bit her lower lip and paused. All night.
And did you stop to rest?
She shook her head. No. Lely's leaving for Lanmont tomorrow, if all goes well. She's hoping to find enough men to secure the border. He held up a hand.
Tell me while we eat. I'm assuming you're starving and I haven't had lunch. Sit, Highness. Today, you will be served by the next Caesar of Rhea.
Her cheeks flushed the most beautiful shade of pink, but she obeyed. There was something special about this girl. She wasn't too regal, but neither was she crass. He'd seen enough to know she had her own form of strength, even if she came across as soft and gentle. Most of all, she was beautiful, in a way that few noble ladies were. He knew. His mother had thrown enough his way from just about every civilized nation Rhea dealt with. Oddly, he'd had the same reaction to the wolf. When she jumped onto the sands and began shouting orders, he couldn't hold his tongue. Everyone knew she was the lion's partner, and what that meant, but he couldn't stop himself. He had to hear her voice and look in her eyes. Essa made him feel the same, mostly. He didn't want to challenge her. He wanted to protect her, because she was just a little bit softer, and not just under his hands. Although feeling her give in to him was something he could definitely get used to. The fact that she came with a title would only make it easier to convince her this should become something more, maybe even something permanent. That it was a Norheim title was even better. It made things possible that he hadn't dared to believe in before, but he'd have to take it slow. She wasn't her sister, and Death had a feeling this beautiful woman hadn't yet learned how to be so brazen. Then again, he didn't want to be so slow that someone else had the chance to swoop in and catch her eye. Now that she was a princess, that was very likely. The thoughts spun in his head as he pulled on the shirt Tor had sent, retrieved their food, and laid it out before his guest. And yes, she was his guest. His money kept this camp running. The only reason he didn't own the team was because free men weren't allowed onto the sands and slaves couldn't own property. Tor was kept well enough that he managed to make it work, and he knew that going against Death's wishes would make his comfortable life vanish. The queen had called Tor his puppet, and she wasn't wrong, even if Death preferred to think of it more as a business venture. "So," he said as he claimed the seat across from her,
"were you planning to stay long enough to sleep, or do you hope to make it back to Oberheim before the queen leaves?"
Essa shook her head. "Ride for a second night just to arrive and climb on yet another horse? No, I don't think I could manage that."
"Then after we eat, I'll have a bath sent up, and I will leave you to get some rest."
He found the meat knife that had been delivered with the platter and began to carve his meal.
"You should be aware that most of the men in this compound believe you came seeking a proper servicing."
"Most of the men in this compound have no clue who I am or who Layli wants me to become. Lady Roy fucked a gladiator. So what? Next week I'll be Princess Aravati. I'm taking the royal name."
"And not even a blush," he noticed. "Well, I was going to ask if you'd be interested in speaking to the men with me in the morning, to let them see what nobility looks like up close, but I wouldn't want to tarnish your reputation."
She looked up, but didn't say a thing until she swallowed. "Do the fighters know who you really are?"
"They suspect. It's enough of an open secret that I get the respect I'm used to, but not so much that anyone is sure enough to sell it to your nobles. However, it sounds like my days of hiding are over. Your sister has just made it easy for me to go home, and I think that's the only way I can keep the two countries I love from destroying each other."
"You love Norheim?"
"I do,"
he assured her.
"In my own way. That's why I think you should speak to them tomorrow. Essa, if the Princess of Norheim asked them to fight for their country, it would make these men a force to be reckoned with. The problem is the entire camp knows you're in this room with me, and it's no secret what usually goes on in here."
She shrugged that off. "Then let them wonder. Let them whisper and dream. We've already been alone long enough that nothing will change their minds." He couldn't stop his smile.
"Tell me, how angry will the queen be if she thought I defiled her younger sister and destroyed all those potential alliances your marriage could make?"
"If a man wants the alliance that badly, he won't care about the state of my innocence," she informed him. "Nor am I needed to marry anyone. Savio will probably get his pick of island royalty. Dario's already made it clear that he will not give up Lady Oberheim, and with the baby..." She paused, then shrugged. "Well, I suppose you should know about that, too. Laylee's expecting."
"So she's going to have a little lion, huh?"
"A wolf," she corrected. "It will be an Aravati." He huffed.
"And when the court figures it out, Norheim will bleed from the inside out. She should have just married her lion."
Essa gently set down her cutlery. "Claudius, my sister said she has no secrets from you. I'm hoping she's right to trust you this much, because I'm not quite sure which side you're really on."
"Riaz,"
he told her, leaning across the table to keep her from looking away.
"I just happen to think that it's in Rhea's best interest to stop fighting against a nation that routinely kicks our asses. Which means I'm also on Norheim's side, in a roundabout manner."
"Then would it make you feel better to know that Prince Connell has every intention of claiming the baby? Their marriage isn't just a political one, but also an agreement between friends. He has his lover, a man, and she has hers. The four of them are a family of their own sort, and happy with the arrangement. I think Tristan's even a little protective of Connell, and the prince consort is the one who made Tristan noble enough to marry Layli, should anything ever happen.
Impressive. So you know, he said. In Rhea, we do not fear homosexuality. I've never understood your country's obsession with who someone else fucked, or why it would even matter, so I'm certainly not going to use it against them. But what about you? Where does the bastard princess fit into this mess of royal matrimony?
The way her jaw clenched proved she didn't like being called a bastard, but he'd done it intentionally. Everything she did told him something, much of it what she wouldn't admit on her own. Most of all, it proved she was proud but not vain, because she made no effort to correct him. I make her dresses. He waited for something else, but that was it.
And, he pressed.
I'm her friend and confidant, too. But she has plenty of those, and I've only really known her a month. Claudius, Lely had no intention of changing my status. She convinced her father to claim us, because she needed my older brother as the heir presumptive. Nothing more. With Rhea teasing our northwest border, she doesn't dare admit her pregnancy, because she's currently a prize that most of those fools would gladly marry. He chuckled.
And they probably wouldn't live through the consummation. Yes, I can see her point. If they try to take Norahaim, the first thing they'll do is kill Ilario, but Connell will go right after. Lely, as you call her, would be hauled to the altar and married that same day. The only real concern would be Tristan, because even a fool can see he's dangerous, and losing him would destroy her.
And he trusts her enough to leave her side. He knows she can fight her own battles. Tristan would quickly become some stupid stable boy or blacksmith and coordinate the revolt from the outside. Oberheim might bleed, but it wouldn't fall.
I see that.
He ducked his head in acknowledgement of the truth.
I also see that you've still avoided my question. What's in your future now, Essa? Now that Lely has turned your life completely upside down, how will you be used to further the goals of your country?
She shook her head slightly. I don't think there is much I can do.
Are you willing to negotiate that?
She picked back up her utensils. Possibly. Why? Did you have something in mind?
I do. Your Highness, I think that the Princep of Rhea would be willing to bring not only one team of gladiators to Landmont, but at least three, in exchange for the chance to court the unmarried Princess of Norahaim.
Hopefully, his next words wouldn't scare her off, but he couldn't stop himself.
And if you'll let me stay in this room tonight, I'll even go so far as to train all of your gladiators to repel a Rhean shield wall. Not perfectly, but good enough that they can withstand an assault from my own country.
She moved bits of food around her plate before answering, and even then she didn't look up. So for the price of my virginity, you'll help Norahaim? Reaching across the table, he placed his hand over hers, stopping the nervous fidgeting.
No, Essa. In exchange for the knowing looks you'll get and the rumors, nothing more.
A grunt slipped out, and he leaned back, releasing her. This wasn't going the way he'd hoped.
Maybe I'm a fool, but I can't stand the idea of you being inside a gladiator camp with no one watching that door. You rode hard, and I can see your eyelids drooping. All I want is to keep you safe while you sleep. Just let me watch over you, and I'll gladly pay the fortune it'll take to move all of these men to the border.
Lely will pay. The treasury is full. This time, the sound he made was more of a growl.
Then think of it as the one thing I can offer, okay? I may be the princep, but so far as the rest of the world knows, I'm a dead man. I can't promise your sister an alliance I've no control over, but I can promise men and training.
She bit her lips together as she thought about that. An offer? For me?
Yeah, he said softly. Because I'm not stupid enough to let a woman like you walk out of my life without at least trying.
Finally, she glanced up. But you are going to become the Caesar. Claudius, I'll never go against Norahaim. There's no future between us, so why even bother?
Because I think you're wrong. I think that if the two of us can figure out how to get along, Rhea and Norahaim might as well.
He ducked his head to see her face better.
Essa, I can tell you all about the political advantages to both of us, but I'd be deceiving you. The truth is, I want to kiss you again and often, and using the politics of it only makes my case better. Maybe I'm wrong, and we'll hate each other before we even reach Landmont, but I'm willing to risk that. I think you're exactly the kind of woman who can make a man great, and I know that if I don't try now, someone else will. Let me at least court you.
Slowly, she nodded her head. If for no other reason than because it's good for Norheim, but I'll warn you, if you ever try to do anything against my country, I'll put the dagger in your back with my own hand.
Yeah, he breathed. Oh, that's the part I like the most. You're not scared of me at all.
Oh, I am. I just won't let it stop me. He pushed back his chair and stood.
A true Aravati. Come, my dear. You deserve to rest a bit, and I'm going to show you how a gladiator treats his intended partner.
Chapter 26. The girl slept for most of the afternoon and well into the night. She hadn't even waited for the bath, just the change of clothes, and he'd given her as much privacy as he could. Until she was completely asleep, at least. Then he'd eased himself onto the bed beside her, unable to look away. The kisses he'd stolen had tasted like pure paradise. She smelled like roses and leather. When she snuggled up to him in the middle of the night, his cock had begged him to use it, but death knew better. Alessia Aravati was not the kind of woman to be fucked and forgotten. If he wanted to seduce her, he'd have to start with her mind, because that would be the only way to truly make her his. She wasn't the kind of girl to be an obedient wife. Oh no, she'd make a much better partner, which was exactly what a Caesar would need. And, if he was lucky, she'd look at him the way the wolf looked at the lion, with pride in her eyes. He eventually fell asleep, and his dreams were blessed. He woke to find the reality wasn't that different. Essa's back was pressed against his chest, and his arm had found a home just under her breasts. It was her movement that made him stir. She was trying to slide out of his grasp without waking him, but she'd failed.
Sorry,
he mumbled as he pulled his arm back. She sat up, facing the far wall. Is there a latrine?
Chamberpot.
He tossed the covers off and rolled out of the bed.
It's by the wash basin. I'll find us some breakfast, unless you're planning to go back to sleep.
No, I think I've had enough. Thank you. Snagging the shirt he'd worn last night, Death stepped into the hall before pulling it on. The stairs were still dark, so dawn hadn't yet arrived, which meant no one would be about to notice him. When he reached the main floor, he headed straight for the kitchens. The lazy noises proved the servants were there, but not yet in full swing. It wasn't hard to find a collection of meat, cheese, and bread for their breakfast. One of the kitchen servants gave him an amphora of posca to wet their throats. Then he headed back. That should have taken long enough for Essa to do all her personal business, and had been subtle enough that she wouldn't notice how hard he was trying to make her comfortable around him. But it didn't really work. Conversation over the meal was stilted and awkward. She kept casting shy glances his way, although he couldn't tell if they were supposed to be coy. After 4 years of being around nothing but men, women were foreign to him. The only thing he was sure of anymore was how to win. Draining the last of his posca, Death stood.
I was going to get in some training while the men have breakfast. Did you want to join me?
She looked back to where her weapons were sitting beside the bed. I thought I shouldn't carry those into the camp.
No, but they'll be safe enough here, and you'll be safe enough at my side.
He offered a hand.
And I'd like to see exactly how careful I need to be when I try to steal another kiss.
Her cheeks flushed, but she let him escort her down to the training yard. It was mostly empty now that the sun was up. The men were in the dining hall, but they wouldn't be for long, and then he'd convince them that they all had a higher calling, one that might even change these men from criminals into heroes, if he had to guess. Like a true fighter, she began to stretch before worrying about her weapons. Impressed, he joined her. Maybe he put a little more effort into it than usual, and he definitely found all of the chances possible to flex when she was looking, but the smile on her lips made it worth it. Then, just as the first men began to enter the yard, they found some wooden swords and moved to a quiet place in the grass. "What are the limitations?" she asked.
This is a gladiator camp, Highness.
He smiled deviously.
There are no limitations.
So hit as hard as I can, she scoffed.